Once again, we welcome each and every one of you that are joining us online. This is part two of the message that I preached last week, which is A God Who Remembers. I wasn't sure where over this past week meditating as to where God is leading and what I believe the Lord has laid on my heart. And I keep coming back to this passage of Scripture to continue with it and to really continue with the same title. So that's why you are going to see, you're hearing a part two of the message that I preached from last week. So this is a continuation for those of you who are joining us for the first time. We also spent some time reflecting on some of the events that took place during the 400 intertestamental period between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And we saw last week that during this time, God was still working behind the scenes to prepare the way for the coming of his son or the Messiah, which is what the Old Testament prophets and the people were looking towards. They were looking for the Messiah, the coming of the one who will deliver them, who will save them. And not only have we seen the mighty hand of God changing the course of history in several different places, religiously, socially, and politically, but also in the lives of individuals. And we looked at the life of Zechariah and Elizabeth last week. Now, when you look at the passage in Luke chapter 1, just Luke chapter 1, if you were to take some time during this Christmas season or even during this week and read Luke chapter 1, you are going to see that there are four key elements or scenes in the first chapter leading up to the birth of Jesus. Now, we're not even touching the birth of Jesus. Last week and this week, we're just looking at those scenes. The first thing we saw was the curtain that fell with Zechariah and the announcement of the angel, proclaiming to him that he will have a son. And then now again we're seeing another curtain being, another curtain fell. This time here is with Elizabeth. Now I wanted to really touch on some of these things here tonight. So there are four events that were part of God's plan to set the stage for the coming of his son. And the first event is, like I said, the angel Gabriel appeared to Zechariah to announce the birth of John the Baptist. And that is where we see God answer the prayer of Zechariah and Elizabeth. Not the prayers, but just the prayer. And later on, Elizabeth will give birth to a son, and then they were told to call, even name the child, John. And I just want to reflect back even on the words that the angel said to Zechariah as we go right into this message here tonight. In verse 14 of Luke chapter 1, the angel said to Zechariah that a child, which is John the Baptist, this child will have joy and gladness. That means the child will bring Zechariah and Elizabeth joy and gladness because of the state in which they were in Elizabeth's barrenness. And she was a reproach, not only to that, but, you know, it was also an answer to God's prayer. And the angel just bring this announcement to Zechariah. And the words are that not only will both Elizabeth and Zechariah will have joy and gladness. And it says, and many, many will rejoice at his birth, which means the people of Israel that will come to know him will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great before the Lord. And it is important for us to notice and be able to pay attention to some of these words. That he will be great. John will be great. But not great in a sense that he will be greater than the one who is to come. But he will be great before the Lord because there is someone greater to come. And he must not drink wine. And, you know, he was told not to drink wine or strong drink. And that he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And he will turn the hearts or the children of Israel to the Lord their God because of the message he preached, the message of repentance, making the way, preparing the way for the coming of the Son of God. And he will go before him, which is Christ in the spirit and the power of Elijah. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers of the children and the disobedient, the wisdom of the just, and will make ready for the Lord, a people prepared, which means preparing the hearts of the people for the coming of the Christ, who will, at his baptism are going to be announced and declared as the Son of God. And Zechariah said to the Lord, to the angel, sorry, how shall I know this? For I am a man. I'm an old man, and my wife is also advanced in years. So in one sense, Zechariah was really doubting what the angel Gabriel would say to him, and the angel would rebuke him. And then because of that rebuke, he will be unable to speak until the child, Elizabeth, give birth to John. And then he will name the child John. So that was the first curtain that fell. That was the scene. That was the event. That was the picture paint. And based on that, we are seeing God preparing the way for the coming of his son. 400 years has passed, and now God is now also fulfilling his promise to his people. And then the second event, which is the passage of scripture that we read here tonight, is 6 months later. 6 months later, the angel, angel appeared to Gabriel the angel Gabriel appeared to a young virgin to a city that is called Nazareth. Now, it is important, people say, what is there that good can come out of Nazareth? Well, what good can come out of Nazareth is the Christ child. Nazareth was about 160 something miles away from Judea, and the angel appeared to Mary, and we all know this story. Each and every year we heard the birth of the Christ child. But I want to read verse 27. And the angel appeared to a virgin, betrothed of a man whose name was Joseph, for the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And it continued in verse 28, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one." Now, what I'm going to do here tonight in this message here is that I'm going to draw your attention to a few passages of scripture. Very, very important for us to pay attention and to focus on what God is saying, what the angel is saying to Mary, because it's going to help us to understand as to where what God is saying to us even after 2,000 years ago. And it says, O favored one, the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at this saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found the favor with God." Now, the reason why I'm saying that we need to pay attention to the certain passage of scripture, certain key things, key words or key phrases that are used, it is important for us to always pay attention to that. I want to draw your attention to verse 28, the passage that I just read. "O favored one," the angel said, "the Lord is with you." Now the word "favored" is the correct translation of the Greek word used instead of "Mary, full of grace." Mary has been favored by God, which means that she received the unmerited favor of God. Mary is not the source of grace. And a lot of people misunderstood this passage of scripture. Mary here in this passage is not the source of grace, but the recipient of grace, the one who received God's grace and God's favor. That is why the angel says, O favored one. She does not have the power to dispense the grace of God to others, as some has mistakenly been taught. Because when you look at verse 30, the angel is going to repeat that again. In verse 30, he says, the same word is being used by the angel Gabriel. He says, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found the favor with God." It was God who dispensed such grace to you, Mary. But Mary is not full of grace, but was favored by God. Receive God's blessing upon her life. God called her, God chose her to be the mother of his son. So in the history of the world, brothers and sisters, there is no birth like the one which Mary will bring forth. There has been no record ever in the history of the world, from Genesis to Revelation, and even for the rest of the ages to come, there will never be a birth like the one that Mary will bring forth. The Holy Spirit, the angel said, will be the agent responsible for the virgin birth, not Joseph or any other man. It was a supernatural birth that can only come from God. That is why the word, the instructions were very specific. They were the instructions were clear. Was very clear that was given to Mary. For Zechariah, if we are to take a moment and look at for Zechariah and Elizabeth, they can look at Abraham. They can look at Abraham and Sarah. They can look at Hannah. They can look at all the other women in the Old Testament, those who were barren, and they can look back and say, God has been faithful. God has been. We can parallel our lives. We can compare our lives to their life to say, if God can bless them, he can also bless us. And yes, God has turned barrenness to fruitfulness. And they can see that in the lives of their four parents. But Mary cannot go back to look at any other example. Mary cannot look at any Old Testament woman to say that they have been a virgin. And there will never ever be another woman like Mary, and there will never be another virgin born. But Mary is not to be worshipped, brothers and sisters. Mary is not to be worshipped. We must never take our eyes off of Christ. We must never take our eyes off of Christ, that the one who is eternal, the one who we need to put our hope and our faith in and put it into something that is physical or temporal. We must never replace Jesus with Mary. We must never do that. Just like we must never replace Jesus with Santa Claus. You know, I was preparing this message here today, and I was sort of meditating on this passage of Scripture and this comparison that we see that sometimes happen between Jesus, where the emphasis, sometimes people are elevating Jesus, elevating Mary more than Jesus, and you see that they even sometimes worship her because she is the mother of God. And the Scripture clearly tells us that she was just favored by God. She was never full of grace because she's not a recipient. But while preparing this message, this song came to my mind, because as I'm studying this passage here, you know, we see that we today have been so easily being blinded by what is happening in our world. People are replacing, especially during this time of the Christmas season, we have replaced Jesus for many years with Santa Claus. And you know, Bing Crosby once sang this song, "Santa Claus is Coming to Town." And hear what he says. I'm just going to read some of the lyrics that is in that song. He says, "You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa is coming to town. Santa is coming to town. Gather around. He's making a list and checking it twice. And he's going to find out who is naughty and nice. Santa Claus is coming to town." And hear what this song says. And we all sing it sometimes. "He sees when you are sleeping, he knows when you're awake." The Santa knows when you're awake. The Santa knows when you're sleeping. He knows if you have been good or bad. The Santa has any clue whether you're being good or bad. Where is Santa all for the entire 12 months of your life? Only on Christmas time he shows up. So hear what his song, hear what Bing Crosby said. "So be good for goodness sake. You better watch out. You better cry. Better not cry." Now, here's what I want to say about that that song. And that is why, this is the reason why in a world in which we live today that we have exchanged the spirit of Christmas for a Santa Claus. We have exchanged God for Santa. And it's no longer about sin or rebellion against God. It's no longer about how lost we are and how sinful we are. And the world in which we live. And, you know, the thing is that we have teach our kids these things to make them believe that Santa is real, that he comes in the night and fill their stockings. And we make them believe in such, we make them believe in such a false teaching. Something that is not real, something that is not true, but we've never taught them about the true meaning of Christmas. We've never tell them about the Christ child, the one who came and died and gave his life for them. We give them something that we believe. It's easy, and it's easy way out. We make them believe that being good is all that matters. And that is why Bing Crosby can write such a song. He knows when you're sleeping, he knows when you're awake, so you better be good. So we have exchanged God for Santa. And it's about the make-believe of something and to reject God. Reject all that he has done for us through the person and work of Jesus Christ. Now I would like for us to pay attention to the next three verses to hear what the angel Gabriel said to Mary. And you tell me if Santa can be compared to any of this. And hear what the angel says. And behold, you, Mary, will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Isn't that the same thing he said to Zechariah? You shall call the name of the child John. But hear what the next verse says. He will be great. This child will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. You can underline that in your Bible if ever you want to. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And for his kingdom there will be no end. So this is not Santa we're talking about. This is Jesus we're talking about, the Son of the living God. The one who, as the Bible says, will be called the Son of the Most High. The highest, there is none to be compared with him. So what was Mary's response? Mary said to the angel, how will this be since I am a virgin? And what did Zechariah say? Zechariah responds to the angel, how can this be, for I am old and my wife is advanced in age? He was doubting. Mary wasn't doubting. Mary said, how will this be? Help me understand that, since I'm a virgin. Because she can't put her head back to any other woman in the Bible. She can't go back like Elizabeth and Zechariah. They had the opportunity to go back. But Mary had now. No one never heard anything about a virgin's birth. But hear what the angel said to her. The Holy Spirit will come upon you and be... And the power of the Most High, again the word the Most High, will overshadow you. It is the power of God that is going to come and make a difference in your life. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. Will be called the Son of God. That was Mary's response, and the angel confirmed what is going to take place. Now, when you look at Zechariah and Mary, when you compare Zechariah and Mary, there are several things that you have to see that is happening here. Both Mary, when the angel appeared to Zechariah and he appeared to Mary, here's what happened. They were both troubled when the angel appeared to them. They were both comforted with these words, "Do not be afraid." They were both given the name of their child. One was given John, the other one was given Jesus. The angel assured them both that their child will be great. John, your child will be great, but he will go before the Lord. This child will be great, and he will be the Son of God. Both of their birth is the work of the Holy Spirit, not of man. And there are five things that the angel said to Mary concerning her child that she was going to give birth to. None of which apply to John the Baptist. None of which apply to John the Baptist. It says to John the Baptist that Zechariah, your son, will go before the Lord. He will be great, but he will go before him. He will go unprepared away. He's going to make the way for him. And that's what John did. John showed up on the scene and prepared a way of the Lord. Read the book of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And it is important for us, brothers and sisters, to understand the words of the angel to Mary. The assurance that God has remembered his promises made to Abraham, to Isaac, and then also to David. There are five things. What is the angel said about Jesus? That he will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. He will inherit the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom, there will be no end. Five things that sometimes we read it and we miss those things in the scripture. But today I would like to spend some time looking at the divine sonship of Jesus and his messianic rule and reign. And to do so, we have to go back to verse 35 for us to understand what Mary understood that day. And verse 35 said, the Spirit will come, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child will be born. The child to be born will be called holy, the Son of God. And then it is Luke who later will bear record of the Father's acknowledgement. The Father himself acknowledged and confirm who Jesus Christ is. This divine sonship, this word that was spoken to Mary at Jesus' baptism. And we all remember that in Luke chapter 3 and verse 22. The Father will once again confirm who this child is. Now he's a big grown man. And hear what Luke chapter 3 verse 22 says, and the Holy Spirit descended on him, Christ, in bodily form, like a dove, and a voice came from heaven. You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased. That is God announcing and confirming who Christ is. This is the child that was born in Bethlehem to a virgin. He is once again my son. This is where he was preparing for his public ministry, to go out and proclaim and proclaim the word that he was called to proclaim. And then in Luke chapter 9:35, on the Mount of Transfiguration, not only was the word given to Mary, the word was also given to Jesus as a confirmation of his baptism, but then on Mount of Transfiguration with Peter and the rest of the disciples as they went up there with Jesus, God confirmed once again, and a voice out of the cloud saying, this is my son, verse 35. My chosen one. Listen to him. There is none like unto him, brothers and sisters. And not only did the Father acknowledge and declare who his son is, not only Mary knew that, but even demons know that Jesus is the Son of the Most High God. Remember when Jesus in Luke chapter 8 and verse 28, when he cast out the demon from the demonic man, what did the Spirit said to him? When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell before him and said with a loud voice, what did he say? What have you to do with me, Jesus? What have you to do with me, Jesus? But not only Jesus, Son of the Most High God. I beg you, do not torment me. Even demonic spirit recognized Jesus' sonship, recognized his lordship, recognized his messiahship, recognized that he is the Son of the Most High God. He is deity. He's not man alone. He's not only human, but he's equal man and equal God. And Luke points Jesus' messianic rule and reign going back to the covenant or the promise made to David. in 2 Samuel, Luke is going to help us to understand why the very words that are spoken from the mouth of the angel to this young virgin who understood, who had a sense of what God was going to do in her life. Went back to 2 Samuel from the mouth of Nathan the prophet to David. And here again we see God's faithfulness in remembering his people, his promise, his covenant. God first will fulfill his promise. God will fulfill his promise made to David, to Solomon. And that's what the promise that God gave in 2 Samuel chapter 7, and I'll read that to you. Solomon will build will have the opportunity to build the temple, not David. Temporal temple, and fulfill portion of that prophecy. But it is Christ who will come and fulfill the eternal word of God, who will fill our hearts and our lives with his spirit. That the Bible says that our body is the temple of the living God. God does not dwell with house made with stones and bricks and fancy pillars. God dwells in our hearts and in our lives, brothers and sisters, that our body, Paul says, is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Solomon built a temporal. Jesus gives us the eternal, that which he will rule and reign in. And his kingdom, it says, it will be an everlasting kingdom. Listen to verse 12. And when the days are filled, this is the words of Nathan the prophet to David in 2 Samuel. When your days are filled and you lie down with your fathers, means you're dead. When God called you home, hear what the prophet Nathan said. Here's the word of the Lord. I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. And he shall build a house for my name. And I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. You hear the prophetic word? I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. When he commits iniquity, I will discipline him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the sons of men. But my steadfast love, the Lord says, will not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before you. And your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. Speaking prophetically of the messianic rule and reign of Christ, that he will come and establish his throne forever and ever in the hearts of men and women, in everyone who give their life and surrender their heart to Jesus. He will rule in their hearts and lives. So when we reflect on the birth of Christ, we are looking back at what God has done by sending his son to pay the price for our redemption. Because of what Christ has accomplished through his incarnate birth, his life, his death, and his resurrection, we can enter, brothers and sisters, into a relationship with the Father and the Son. True. That can only happen through the regenerate work of the Holy Spirit, who empowers us. And not only that, the Holy Spirit regenerates us and brings us into that relationship with the Father and the Son, but he empowers us and fills us with the Spirit so that we can walk obediently and walk in relationship to Christ. And Paul will later declare, Peter will later declare on the day of Pentecost, hear what Peter says, brothers, I say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried. David died and David was buried, and his tomb is with us this day. Being therefore a prophet, knowing what God has sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendant on his throne. You see, Peter is confirming that prophecy. For he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. Hear what Peter says, this Jesus God raised up, and of what we are all witnesses, being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, He has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into heaven, but he himself. He said, I will make your enemies a footstool. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ. That is Jesus. This Jesus whom you crucified. And behold, your relative. Verse 36. And that is the promise that we have, brothers and sisters. This is what God has given to us, to each and every one of us, fulfilling his word so that you and I can walk and live in relationship to Christ. So Christmas is not about Santa, but it's about a living God who comes and lives in the heart of men and women and in each and every one of our lives. That's the first event with Zechariah. The second event is with Elizabeth. The third event is with Mary visiting her cousin Elizabeth. After 6 months, when Mary heard the good news that she will be the mother of the Son of God and she will be the virgin to bring forth, she went to her cousin Elizabeth. 100 and something miles Mary went and confirmed that promise that the Christ child was indeed the Son of the Living God, and which resulted in a song. What did Elizabeth say? Hear what Elizabeth said. As Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you, Mary! Blessed are you among women! Blessed is the fruit of your womb!" But here are the words. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting come to my ears, the baby in my womb, which is John, leap for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be, here Mary says, hear what Elizabeth said to Mary, blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken from the Lord. Yes, here is the fulfillment of God's promise to his people. And then not only do we have the third event, the third curtain fell and that happened, but then you have the fourth one, the fourth and the final event, the birth, not only the birth of John the Baptist, but 8 days after, Zechariah, you heard me last week, Zechariah at the circumcision, Zechariah said in verse 67, and his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit. You see that? Everybody was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied saying, blessed is the Lord. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. Here Zechariah confirmed God's prophecy that it is God who remembered, who will redeem his people. And he will raise up a horn of salvation to us in the house of his servant David, even in the mouth of Zechariah. So we don't need to go outside of the book of Luke to see how God has fulfilled his promise. Right there and then, if we take time to read God's word, we are going to see that, brother, that God is still faithful in remembering his promise to us. And even throughout this Christmas season, even this time as we take time to meditate, let us take time to reflect on the goodness of God. Let us take time to reflect on what God has done for us. And we today, brothers and sisters, can share his love to the world that is out there. Share his love with friends and neighbors. Share his love with family this Christmas season. Let us remember that the truest demonstration of love went to the cross 2,000 years ago. So that we, you and I, can be made free. Free from the power of sin. Free from the power of self. Free from the power of Satan. Free from all of that we may feel that life can hold us back to. It is only through Jesus Christ that we are set free. Because the Bible says, he that is son set free is free indeed. In Christ you are free. Free from everything, brothers and sisters. No matter what the world throws at you and me, we are free from those things because our life are not yet again in bondage. Or we should not be living in fear, whether fear of pandemic, whether we take the vaccine or not. We should never live in fear, but we should live because of what Christ has done for us as believers in Christ. And that is what the Christmas message is all about, because Christ has come to set us free. Santa don't set you free. Santa don't change your problems. Santa don't transform your life. It is only through Jesus Christ that we are changed and transformed. Now the question before I close, during this Christmas season, how would you reflect the love of Christ to your neighbors? And what are some of the things that God is laying on your heart this Christmas season to show forth His love? Let me say that again. As you leave, as I close, and as you reflect throughout this week here, ask yourself these questions. How would you reflect the love of Christ to your neighbors, to your friends, to your family? And what are some of the things that God is laying on your heart this Christmas season? What are some of the things God is laying on your heart for you to do to demonstrate His love? The same love that He's shown to you, how would you demonstrate that this Christmas season? And it doesn't have to be only this Christmas season, but for the rest of the year, how would you do that, brothers and sisters? I'd like you to ponder on that this week and think about it. Let us pray. Father, we give thanks to You, Lord. Lord, there are so many truth, God, that we have just reflected upon. Truth, O Lord, of the birth of John the Baptist. Truth about the words and the annunciation of the birth of Your Son. Lord, the confirmation between Elizabeth and Mary. Lord, from the mouth of Zacharias himself. And Lord, from all the passages that we read tonight, from Samuel to David. Lord, you conform Your word in so many places. And tonight, God, once again, You are speaking to us so that we can, Lord, we can walk and live our lives in obedience to You, Lord. Not based on some form of fairy tales or some form of make-believe, but our life can be hid in Christ, as Paul says, nevertheless I live, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life I live, I don't live to please the flesh, but I live after the Son of God who loved me and gave His life for me. God, that is what You have called us to do. And I pray, God, that this Christmas season, this season, Lord, when there is joy and marrying and giving of gifts and lights and parties and food and coming together, God, that we will take time to reflect Your love to friends and family. God, that they can see that the truest of love went to the cross. The truest of love came in a manger. The truest of love laid down His life for us. That we can share that love, Lord, this season here with friends and family. Lord, not to take our eyes off of who You are and put it on a Christmas tree or on a Santa Claus, but to put it to look to You, God, the author and the finisher of our faith. Lord, we give thanks to You and we give praise, God, that You will lead us by Your Spirit. And You'll continue to lead us, God. For those that are watching, I pray, God, tonight we pray that You will speak to their hearts, that You will speak to their lives, and God, that You will convict them and You will help them, Lord, to reflect on the things that they heard tonight. We give You thanks and we ask, God, that You will speak. In Jesus' name, amen.